Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the Mic.
We're back, Moody on the Mic. Yes, it's Thursday morning. We're a little bit later than normal. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me at the moment, it's actually just the man whose podcast it is, because Rain Man's off doing a radio cross. Mytho's God knows where. They won't be far away. Don't you worry. Moods, where did we find you on this magnificent Thursday morning?
Roger, I'm actually in Rockhampton, central Queensland today. I came up late last night and here for a couple of days for the annual Beef Week in central Queensland, and enjoying some time with the Queensland Bulls Masters before I go back to Eagle Farm on Friday and have a look at the horses there and do a bit of fast work with them on Saturday morning before returning back to the depths and the cool of Victoria that winter's starting to encroach on us down there, Rog.
It is. I'm getting up to Noosa in a couple of weeks. Got the Noosa Marathon coming up, so at least I'll get some sunshine into me. This is the sort of travel jaunts that you can only do when you've got a co-trainer, I'd imagine, Moods. I mean, these side hustles with the Bulls Master. Catherine's working hard back there at Pakenham.
Yeah, well, listen, I was with her yesterday morning at 4 a.m., so a couple of days away. I wouldn't suggest sleep-ins because the phone's ringing. We've got a team of horses in Brisbane as well as Melbourne, and we've even got Pounding heading over to Adelaide this weekend, so it's all fingers on the pulse. But everything's running along honky-dory, and the only thing that would make it better is a few winners. We had a winner at Sandown yesterday. Not that Mytho counts midweek winners. They don't count, but might be a filly called Tuckamore that might head up to Queensland for the Oaks. But, no, things are going well.
Yeah, she was pretty impressive. She had a shit run and still managed to win. So look forward to seeing her up north. Hey, speaking of quality fillies and mares, Chain of Lightning is going to go to the Broodmare Sales. We've touched on this before. If she goes to Royal Ascot and you are still the trainer, will you go and should we all come?
Oh, listen, Rog, we haven't got that far down the road yet, to be quite honest. I think she goes to the Broodmare. She runs in Brisbane on the 18th if she gets a track with a bit of give in it. And then she goes to the Broodmare Sales the following week. And then, listen, 100% it's up to the new ownership group. I would imagine she would be sold. I would imagine she'd be a very popular mare at the breeding sales. And that'll come down holus and bolus to the new training, to the new ownership group.
Well, we have a very loyal listener called Ben Atley, who's been long listening from New Zealand, actually. I think he might be an Aussie. He's moved over to Ireland with his bride recently, and he went to the jumps at Punchestown on the weekend. He messaged me on X, formerly Twitter, and he said if you have a run at Royal Ascot, he's going to make the trip to Royal Ascot, Mood. So he's there's one listener who's just hanging out to find out what happened to the Chain of Lightning.
Listen, tell him at this stage we're 110% onto the trip to Royal Ascot with Chain of Lightning, but totally dependent on the new ownership group post the Broodmare sales. And I would think she'd be a good attraction, and someone like Mytho, who's just joined us, and Rain Man back with us, would be able to add on this. A mare like Chain of Lightning, if a new ownership group bought her, for example, I'm just trying to say, if a Rosemont Stud bought her and they decided to take her to Royal Ascot, you then have the option of breeding her to one of the top Northern Hemisphere stallions and returning her back to Australia to Southern Hemisphere time, or ultimately she could, if she's bought by someone in the Northern Hemisphere, she could go up there and race and then commence a breeding career up there if they so choose. What do you think, Mytho?
Yeah, it's a good play. You're trapping an international market because you're exposing her to the international world of racing. So if you had the cash, she's not going to be inexpensive. So I'm at the Chairman's Sale in Sydney. Coffee shop was a bit busy downstairs. Sorry, boys. They're going to sell like hotcakes up here. We've got Komochi going through, some very high profile mares. She's extreme. So they're worth in the millions. If someone wants to put their hand up, it's a good play, Moods.
Hey, Mytho, just while we're on the breeding side of things, though, this is a shameless award-like late-season run that we're seeing from the Autumn Sun. He's had three Group 1 winners over the last four weekends, the ATC Derby with Autumn Angel, the Australasian Oaks with, can't remember the name, the Mick Price filly, and then the SA Derby with Coco Sun at the weekend. So, Vibrant Sun.
It's very hard to ignore him now. I remember during the yearling season, doesn't seem that far or long ago, sorry. It was Peter Moody putting his hand up for a few Autumn Suns, and I knew why, because of Autumn Angel, but I thought, oh, one swallow doesn't make a summer here, Moods. You and Wiley have gone a bit mad on these autumn suns. I held my tongue. I didn't say anything. I thought he's usually the smartest in the room. And guess who's the smartest in the room again? PG Moody, buying those autumn suns cheaply when no one wanted them. Everyone thought he was off the cliff, finished, done, no more autumn sun. He comes out with three Group 1 winners in 21 days. And he is the flavour of the month. I've been up here for the Wendling sale as well, and there were some autumn suns making good money that they would have been put in that in this Wendling sale to be given away, and instead people were taking home a nice little pot of money. So well done, Peter. You're ahead of the game again.
Well, it's nice to get it right once in a row, Mytho. And no, he's done a good job of late. And listen, they've got to continue on as well. We see this, you know, he's not Robinson Crusoe and making a bit of a resurgence, but happy to have a couple at home that we've purchased this year and Wiley has syndicated.
I was a little bit concerned that Rayman might not be with us this episode. I thought he might still be in some form of mourning. Cascadian retired during the week. That wasn't the reason for the delay. Obviously, we've been in constant contact with Rayman, checking on his welfare. How are you holding up, Tom?
Yeah, it's been a sad week for me, but I'm using it as an opportunity to celebrate Cascadian and his outstanding exploits on the track. I think he's been one of the most underrated horses we've had in Australia in recent times, one of the most underrated imports we've had in Australia. He had 54 career starts, 31 of them were Group 1s, 12 races, he's won over $10 million in prize money, 4 Group 1s, and he always ran to his best. I think that's all you want to ask for from a punter is a horse that will run to their mark and give you a good sight for your money. So that's been Cascadian to me. And if you backed him every start, you'd be well in front.
Just a little peek behind the curtain here. Rayman had no idea I was going to bring that up, and yet he was able to peel off Cascadian's entire page you know, within 5 seconds. That's why we call you the Rain Man.
When you love the horse, Rog, the information is just right there. No, but he's been a marvel, and I think he does leave a hole in our wait for age ranks. He's always been a sort of horse to pop in there just to sort of add a little bit of colour to a race, and we need old tough geldings like Cascadian.
And while on Cascadian, and credit to James Cumming and his team, terrific effort and terrific to see them retire sound and healthy. One of his regular riders, or regular riding combinations, was the family of Ben Mallum and Jamie Carr, who had very good success on him. And it was great to see Jamie break her South Australian virginity on Saturday and winning the Group 1 South Australian Derby on Coco Sun. She's been dying to win a race at home in her home state of South Australia, and she finally got the job done there at hand, and I think she looks to bounce back and try and do it again tomorrow in a Goodwood handicap and see if she can double it.
Sounds like you might have a bit of an insight into the post-race celebrations as well there, Peter.
Oh, no idea there, Andy, no idea, but no, it was good to see her get that one out of the way. I know it's certainly one that meant so much to her to win one in a home state.
And speaking of jockey appointments, James McDonald keeps the rod, and I wish I win for the Queensland race next weekend.
Yes, in the Doomba 10,000, James McDonald retains the ride. I was overruled there by my managing part owner, as does happen to be the case at times with my managing part owners, one of them obviously being on this show as well.
He got the better of you, Chittick, did he? Right.
Yes.
It can happen that an owner actually gets to choose a jockey, does it?
Well, listen, when they're choosing James McDonald and not B Fucknuckle, like you quite often throw up there, it is hard. But listen, I really felt for Luke Nolan. It was one of the hardest jobs I've done for a long, long time, and telling him that he wasn't retaining the ride, and I wish I win after winning a Golden Eagle, TJ Smith, and numerous other races. I think the furthest he'd finished back on him was second, and that was in an Everest. It was a bit hard to tell him he wasn't riding him, and he really took it to heart, Luke. But you never know, swings and roundabouts in this caper, and I'm sure J-Mac will do a wonderful job for us.
I can detect in your voice as well, Moods, that you really wanted Luke on.
Oh, listen, when you build such an association with a rider like Luke, Luke and I have had over 900 wins together, and the record that he's built on this horse was tremendous. But I certainly respect Mark's wishes, and obviously the Kiwi connection's very close there. He and James are very close, and the opportunity presented, and he mentioned it to me some 6 months ago, if the chance to put James on came to fruition, he'd like to do it. So that's obviously finally happened. He's got his wish, and I respect those.
All righty, that's enough of this. Let's get on to, after the break, we're going to preview some big races this weekend. Been a little bit tough of late, the big races, but I'll tell you what, we gave Antino, all of us gave it a massive push last weekend when he was still about $9 and he delivered in the Group 2 Victory Stakes. Hopefully some of your loyal listeners had a fill up and then doubled down with Mytho and Rayman's best bets. I think Moods had one at Pakenham or Cranbourne on Friday night too, so it was just me letting the team down. But I'm going to bring it back this week.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, yard comment, and black book. Ladbroken. What's gambling really costing you?
Let's kick things off with Group 1 racing again in South Australia this weekend. It's the Group 1 Goodwood. It's another good field. The boost in prize money, Rayman's certainly done a lot for the fields over the South Australian Carnival, and this is another cracker.
A very interesting addition of the Goodwood. Amelia's Jewel will become one of the most polarising horses in the country, but say what you will about it, anytime you put her in a race, it does make that race infinitely more interesting. And she's the favourite, but you're getting a bit of a price this week. She's $4. Benedetta, Jamie Carr in the saddle, again, $5. Oscar's Fortune, another horse coming across from WA. William Pike in the saddles, $5.50. I Am Me, $7.50. Johnny Rocker, $8.50. Climbing Star, the last start winner of the Sangster, $16. I think it's a really interesting race. Once again, I'm taking on Amelia's Jewel here. I thought she was a good run in the Quokka, but she had every possible chance, still wasn't able to get past Overpass. I can understand why she's come up favourite, but I think there's some value to be found betting around her. And it's another horse that comes out of the Quokka for mine is Oscar's Fortune. He only carries 53.5 kilos under the conditions of this race, and he was a massive run in the Quokka. Was only beaten a length by Overpass, just behind Amelia's Jewel. William Pike in the saddle. I think he's the horse that's waited to win here. And at 550, I really like him. And the other horse I want to back is Johnny Rocker, who ran Imperatrice extremely close in the William Reid Stakes at the Valley and then proved that was no fluke with a credible effort when eighth behind Chain of Lightning in the TJ Smith Stakes. So it's a horse that's gone to another level this preparation, but I don't think it's a fluke. It's a lightly raised horse that's always had upside. So I'm going to back both Oscar's Fortune and Johnny Rocker to knock off Amelia's Jewel.
I'm a bit torn because two of my absolute favourites in Amelia's Jewel and Stretton Angel in the same race. I don't think Amelia's Jewel is a 1,200-metre horse, but you know, I'm not going to say she can't win. I don't want to be on her, though. I do think Stretton Angel's over the odds at $27, given she's right down in the weights against the older horses. She hasn't quite recaptured the form from the spring, but I still have a couple of dollars at a silly price. The main one I want to be with, though, is a double-figure odds Skybird. Yep, she's coming up in class, but she looks to have come back in super form this preparation. Now hits her grand final in seemingly top form, and I think she's probably more a 1,400-metre to a mile horse, but her last start win at 1,200 suggests she is very versatile and can win a race like this down in the weights.
We're on a similar path here, Rog. Very similar, to be perfectly honest. I spoke to Simon Miller at the Wheeling Sale during the week and had a good chat about Amelia's Jewel. He's wished Annabelle Neesham all the best because Amelia's Jewel will skip from Adelaide then to the Eastern Seaboard to be trained by Annabelle for her next campaign and presumably into a Brisbane campaign. But He echoed your thoughts. Doesn't think she's a 1,200-metre horse. I said, well, what the hell is she doing in the Goodwood? And he said, well, it's a perfect race for her to then get Eastern Seaboard. And the travel plans worked. And he said, I'm just hoping that she can really finish off hard over the top and prove me wrong over that 1,200 trip. But the one I found to perhaps beat her would be Skybird. Form was good. We know Moesha's pretty good, who she beat last time, Moods, don't we? So I reckon Skybird can run a hell of a race at $12 on the Ladbrokes market.
Well, you know, I always take the piss out of you because you've all had Amelia's Jewel as the best horse in the country and good horses win at any trip. But I think Saturday's her race and her race by a margin. I think D Lane will sit 4 and 5 deep on this Morpheville track that's been playing down the centre. He'll just keep her out of trouble. Blinkers on, midfield. She'll just be too strong for this lot, I think. I do respect Oscar's Fortune. He ran very well, just beating her, I think, last start in the Quokka. And Skybird probably for third for me through that strong Moesha form line there. But I think Amelia's Jewel and Amelia's Jewel by a margin on Saturday. She'll go out a winner for Simon Miller before he hands over the reins to Annabelle Neesham.
That's the big news coming out of this podcast, that Moods has jumped on the Amelia's Jewel bandwagon. I actually spoke to Simon Miller yesterday. He was in Adelaide. He had nothing else to do, so he was going to jump in the car with Richard Jolly and drink tins on the way to Murray Bridge and have just a Wednesday afternoon at the races. He's one of the great characters, Simon Miller. The Group 3 Gold Coast Guineas at Sunshine Coast this weekend. Rain Man, take us through the market and then your thoughts.
Yeah, a very, very open race, this one, the Gold Coast Guineas. Cornish is the equal favourite with Steffi Magnetta. It's Barebo's $5, Moravia $6.50, Abounding $8, and then Moods has got Roll on High here at $8.50. And there's a couple of very nice horses that performed well during Stradbroke season last year at big prices. Sofrado, $19 for Rex Lip, is over the odds in my opinion. Was probably a little bit disappointing first up in the Mick Dipman, but I think we'll take good improvement from that run, and is a horse that has performed well over this trip previously. So I think Sofrado at $19 is over the odds. And the other horse I do want to have something on is Roll on High. Obviously, we'd be interested in Moods' thoughts, but we know Moods has always been quite bullish about this horse. And I'm not sure she's had all the luck in the world this preparation. I think that she has been a little bit unlucky. And the fact that Moods has kept her up and has sent her to Queensland, I think, is a very positive push. So I'll be backing two at a nice price here, Roll on High and Sofrado.
Yeah, we'll get the lowdown from Moods on Roll on High, but, you know, she's maybe been a touch disappointing this prep, so I'm hoping he's found the key to get her back to her best. I'm intrigued to see how Bases Loaded comes back after a year out, after a very good two-year-old season. It's always been thereabouts in big races, but I'm with Steffi Magnetica, beaten a lip by Tropical Squall in the Group 1 Surround over 1,400 about 9 weeks ago. So had a nice little let up and comes in here pretty fresh. An open race, I think, presents some reasonable value in my opinion. So Steffi Magnetica for me in a very tough race.
Almost a pineapple, nearly a pineapple, but Cornish, the favourite at $5, thought the price probably reflective of the wider barrier, but James McDonald and James Cummings combining big track Sunshine Coast, I reckon they'll handle that. I'm happy to stick with the favourite here, or equal favourite, at $5 Cornish each way in what is very close to a pineapple race here, Moods. Can you give us a push for the Seamus Award, Philly?
I'm nearly as confident with Roll on High as I am with Amelia's Jewel winning the Goodwood.
Wow.
Her trial at Pakenham a few weeks back in the blinkers was superb. I think she's drawn ideally for her. She'll be midfield to second half and wide. Probably my only concern is the heavy ground, but most of the breed that I've trained, the Seamus Awards, have handled soft ground. She had one bit of exposure to it in the Group 1 earlier in a preparation in Sydney where they went a very pedestrian tempo and she couldn't get into it over the 1,400 metres. I think hopefully good speed here, back to 1,200, blinkers on. Vlad Jurek's absolutely flying up there in Queensland since he's returned to Singapore, and I reckon 850 each way all day, team.
Is she blinkers first time, Moots?
Blinkers first time, and you know my opinion of the Seamus Awards with blinkers on there, Mytho. I think they grow a leg. So I'd be getting on the 850 now. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until Saturday morning.
Could I please change my tip, Rog? I am all chips in, Roll on High. Thank you very much. Cornish can get stuffed.
I'm going to do the same, and I'm going to get on now before I put the podcast out and all the punters flock to, so I can still
thank
get
you.
The $8.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Solid play. All right, let's move on to, I suppose it's the main race at Sunshine Coast on Saturday. Rayman, it's the Group 2 Hollandale Stakes.
Yeah, another interesting race here, Rog. Team Snowden Train Hertier is the favourite, $3.60. He's a bit of a Stradbroke season specialist, this horse. Has a great record in the Hollandale and the Doomben Cup. Kovalika gets it back to 1,800 metres, $4.20. Just Folk on the second, third line of betting at $7. Mighty Ulysses, $8 for the world's best trainer, Annabelle Neesham. You're sort of getting double figures the rest. I think it's a race the market does have just about right. I think Hutier was very good last start, and we know seems to just grow a leg, always improves in Brisbane. But Mighty Ulysses, a lightly raced import that I think could be in for a big campaign. Was poor first up in the George Ryder, but was sent to Brisbane, bounced back in impressive fashion last start, and ran a really good rating in that race. So I think it's a horse that does have upside and can improve. So at $8, I want to have something small on Mighty Ulysses here.
My knock on Mighty Ulysses is how lazy the owners were in naming it. by Ulysses. So they've just called it Mighty Ulysses. That's pretty piss poor in my opinion. I don't know enough about the horse to give that a nudge either way, so we'll see there. But I do know that Just Folk is a genuine mudder. And we saw that last weekend in the Hawkesbury Gold Cup. We saw it in the Ajax a couple of years ago. 59 kilos is right up, I reckon, as much as he can carry. But I think in that wet, it's between him and Huetor. And I'll take the $7 about Just Folk over the $360 about Huetor. But I think you can work around those two.
Sorry, what race are we doing? I've just been very busy on my app backing Roll on High for the last 2.5 minutes. But multis, trifectas, the whole works. I've been all chips in here. What race are we doing?
The Hollander, race 7.
Right. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Not a bad little race. Let's, for want of a tip, not very interested now. I reckon I'm getting more of my money out of Roll on High. Great Malika, each way, 420. That'll do.
Yeah, well, this for mine is nearly the pineapple race. I've sort of got no idea where to go with the 1800. I thought if you had to have a bet in the race, maybe have something each way. Hu Yamel, first up from the Waterhouse Bot team. You know it'll be rock hard. You know it'll sit up on the speed and probably give you a side each way at double figure odds.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker. See where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Blackbook, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbroken.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Time now for our best bets. Moody on the mic. We're all going rolling high, all right? Thanks for your time. We'll see you next week. Right, man, kick us off.
Yeah, well, I did consider changing my best bet to roll on high, but I'm sticking with what I had originally planned, which is Morphettville Race 5, number 1, Sione, who was a very good winner last start of the Queen of the South Stakes. And I don't think this race on Saturday at Morphettville is really that much tougher. See What I See is the favourite in this race, $2, 5 wins from 7 race starts, a filly that does have a huge amount of upside, but this is the toughest test of her career to date, and I've been extremely impressed with everything Sione's done this preparation. So I think Sione can beat her. Morphettville, race 5, number 1, Sione. Maybe just roll it into Roll on High.
I was surprised that Sione didn't come up favourite there, Raymond. So, yeah, nice pick. I'm going to go to a different Peter Moody-trained runner. I'm going to go to the last at Caulfield and a horse that Moods gave a pretty good push to last start, but I think swallowed its tongue, and that's End Assembly, race 10, number 14. So excuses that last run, got form around some very good horses, including Lady Laguna, last preparation, and I think in a race like this, it sets up very nicely. Very keen to hear Moods' thoughts. Hopefully he gives it a similar push that he did with Roll on High, but I'm going race 10, number 14 at Caulfield, End Assembly.
A few in the red colours on the weekend. Looking forward to the day. Mullane's going to be very hard to beat in that stakes race sprint up there at the Sunshine Coast. Also, got Everlasting Kiss. Now, it ran third behind Saban. It's Nick Saban, isn't it? The footy coach in America. Saban, who's our horse trained by Moods, won particularly well on last Friday night. Plan was always just to give her a pipe opener and build her to that $2,500. She's $27 in the market, Everlasting Kiss. I think if Saban was in that race, it'd probably be close to favourite Moods. I know it's for fillies, but just doing the form line and putting that horse in, and there wasn't much between them. So I think Everlasting Kiss will give you a good sight in the 2,500-metre race bore at Morphettville. But the best would be Flyer, the two-year-old by Exceedance. She is flying since we put the blinkers on. She was very good in the stakes race in Adelaide a couple of weeks ago, running third, weaved her way through them nicely. She set up to win this with Craig Williams out of barrier one. You can bet on her with confidence. That's race 3, Morphettville Flyer at $4.50 on the Ladbrokes market.
Firstly, we'll touch on Adelaide, race 7, a horse 2 pounding. Comes off a bland run, but not a bad run at Caulfield last start. I think he's 13. Third up at the mile, drawn midfield. I don't think that's a bad option. Blake Shin probably rolls to a more prominent position than we rode him last start, down from 60 to 56.5. I think he can bounce back, and certainly an excellent each-way hope, race 7, horse 3. We've touched on Roll On High in the Gold Coast Guineas run at the Sunshine Coast. If you can get your mind wrapped around that, I think she goes there in good order. Obviously, the heavy ground is a little concern, but I've been very pleased with her. And blinkers on, I think she'll run extremely well. Home track at Caulfield, or back home at Caulfield. In the first, race one, number eight, we've got a very smart filly called Bridal Waltz, the half-sister to She Dances. Takes on the very smart Clinton McDonald-trained Stanley Express, who comes back from the showdown, the million-dollar race. Comes back from 1,200 to 1,100, Stanley Express. My filly's very fast. I think she'll give you a good sight at each way odds there. Then we duck across to, where are we ducking across to? My Xanadu, nice maiden winner. She's in race four. Not a bad race, this, and I think a few of these horses are probably on trial for a trip to Queensland, as is my filly. I thought she's very good in a Geelong maiden. Drawn a little bit sticky, but we'll ride her to close and finish the race off, and I think she can give you a good sight each way. Then we skip across. There's one more between her and End Assembly. Fallen in race seven. She was a bit disappointing down the straight at Flemington the other day. To that point, she'd raced pretty solid all prep. She'll roll forward, I think, take up the running here. 1,400 around Caulfield. I don't think it's the worst place to be in front on fence. Will she see out a strong trip? Listen, I'm not 100% convinced, but there'll be worse than her, and I'd imagine she'd probably 33 to 1 there without knowing anything about the market. And Roger's horse in race 10, End Assembly. He was disappointing first up at Mornington. He did pull up with a very dry tongue. We didn't have the tongue tie on him that day. Tongue tie goes back on. His work's been good and solid. I still think he's one run off his peak, but Roger, I think he might just need one more condition-wise, carries a little bit around the girth like I do. If Roger gets this podcast out in time, punters, I don't want to left you hanging. We saw Mytho last week leave out the last winner at Warrnambool and got a little bit of an abuse there from the Ladbrokes punters. It wasn't his fault. He didn't realise it would go out in time, but just to add to that, packing them this evening, if Roger gets it out, race one, we've got Road Cone. He's at prohibitive odds, but I would expect him to win. And just a little side story on the Roll On High story. In race three, we have her younger two-year-old half-brother called Near Nelson having his first start at Pakenham. He's by Cable Bay, not a stallion that's had a lot of exposure here in Australia, but he gets the odd handy one. Obviously, Uncommon James, probably the best of his progeny. I'm not telling you this bloke is Roll On High or Uncommon James, but certainly have something each way him in the third at Pakenham this evening near Nelson. Good luck, good punting. My best of the weekend. I think Billy's Duel bounces back. It's a Group 1 winner last start for Simon Miller in the Goodwood Stakes. And Roll On High, I think, is the best of mine this weekend. But I think if you follow the little boutique stable from Thursday evening all the way through to Saturday evening, most of them are at each way odds, you'll finish in front. Good luck, good punting, good health. Let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.